lights went. I can remember as a little fella, I would attend church and there would be some shouts in the house. And you say, well, Brother Tim, you attended one of them shouting churches. No, no, not really. It was a Baptist church. But I want to tell you, the old timers, are you listening? The old timers in the Baptist church, they still shouted a little bit. So where'd the shout go? I want to tell you, there's a lot to shout about. I want to tell you, I know you shout for the Cowboys when there ain't much to shout about. But I want to tell you, with the kingdom of heaven, there's a whole lot to shout about. And the Bible says to give a shout of victory, to give a loud shout, a shout of victory. And so that's just okay. It's very proper. All right? And I love you so much. Hey, this series been a big part of my life. It's called Freedom Life. We're talking about in this part of the series what God's picture of you. And if you catch God's picture of you, it will make a difference. You have to see God's picture of you. All right? When you see God's picture of you, you realize that you are not to be punished for your sin. Jesus took punishment for your sin already. The good news about that is that when you see yourself as a victor and not a victim, because that's real big. And in Jesus, see, he brings us into liberty. He brings us into victory. In Jesus, with Jesus, there's liberty. And I want to tell you something about him. You don't have to punish yourself when you see yourself in Christ. When you see yourself forgiven. When you see that you identify with Jesus and your punishment has been put on Jesus, you're free not to punish yourself anymore. Boy, that would set a lot of people free right there. I'm telling you, there's ways that we tend to punish ourselves. Okay, and I'll tell you what, the enemy don't have to work too hard at that. He just kind of hints and we take off and run with it. Don't do his job. Okay, you're forgiven. And when you see yourself as forgiven, then you're free by the cross. See, that's why we talk about the cross so much. But when you identify with Jesus with the cross, then you see yourself forgiven, then you're free to receive what he paid for you to have. If you're on the punishment side, which Jesus has taken your punishment, you don't have the right to punish yourself because Jesus took your punishment. Then here I am to say to you, don't punish yourself. It causes you to miss out. It's a lie. And you're causing yourself to miss out on God's best for you. That's not God's desire. Okay, let me take it a little step further. While I'm up, you know, there's a real tendency in humanity to punish others. Oh, yeah. Oh, let me just make this announcement. One of the greatest things you could do is to forgive yourself with the forgiveness of Jesus that he's already forgiven you with. Hey, love the Lord, enjoy and receive that forgiveness, and then love yourself, forgive yourself for all the things you've said and done against yourself. Okay, no more punishment of yourself. Now, here we go. You know what? You're free now not to punish others for what you've done or what you haven't done. You're free now not to punish others for what your dad or your mom or somebody in your past has done to you. Been abused? That's covered by the cross. You don't have to be a lifetime victim. You can be free. And when you're free, you are free. Forgiven. Free. Forgiveness comes to you. Forgiveness flows through you. You're free not to punish others the way you were punished. Wow. Man, I tell you. It sounds tight, but it's right. Because it's what Jesus has done. Okay? Now, I want to tell you, if you fall in any of that category, the blood of Jesus has already been shed for you. Jesus was punished on the cross severely, totally, completely for your punishment. For us to simply be free from it. Now, when you're free from it, not only are you free from the condemnation and all the anxiety, emotion, destruction that comes from sin, but you're not only are you free from the punishment of sin, but you're free from the power of sin. Okay? The enemy doesn't have to just dial your number anymore and you jump to it. See? You don't have to respond immediately every time a temptation flies by. Every time an emotion comes up, you don't have to camp there for a week. Okay? You're free. You know what you're free? From the power and punishment of sin. But you're free to walk in the love life of Jesus. That's what he paid for. We don't deserve it. Nobody deserves it. But because of Jesus, we get it. And we're free to walk in love life with Jesus. And that's Christian life. If you try to live the Christian life without the relationship with Jesus, without the love life of Jesus, it becomes a set of rules of do's and don'ts, and there's no life there. You fall into the law practice, the practice of law, and I want to tell you, you don't win, you lose. There's no grace when you're trying to deserve it. Do you see that? There's no mercy when you think you've earned it. No. We come and humble ourselves before the Lord. And you know what? We esteem him. And we receive what he is and what he's done. We identify with him, not with sin. You walk with Jesus. You don't walk with sin. You walk with Jesus. You don't walk with the past. You walk with Jesus. You don't walk with failure of the past. Do you see that? There is freedom. Jesus is freedom. That's why we call this Freedom Life Series. That's why the church name is going to be changed in the very near future, soon and very soon, to Freedom Life Fellowship. Not that there's anything wrong with New Beginnings. I love that name. Constructed it myself. But I want to tell you, there's another community church in the area that has that name, and there's some confusion. You know what? It's okay. Well, Brother Tim, we had it first. It don't matter. It don't matter. We're all on the same team with Jesus. Okay? We don't have to wear the same number on the jersey. It's okay. All right. I love you. I love you. So, I want you to look at this scripture. You're talking about a freedom scripture. This hit me about a year and a half ago. And I haven't been able to get over it. I've been wanting to work it in ever since, a year and a half ago. It was one of those quiet times where I just, oh, you know. And sometimes you have a quiet time, it's like dry cereal, right? May have some of those in a row, but they're good for you. Vitamins, fortified. Come on, get in that word. But I want to tell you, every now and then it's like Bluebell ice cream on top of it. I'm telling you, and this was one of those days. And so I'm sharing with you. If I could put it to you the way Jesus put it to me, you would want to stay on a series instead of wanting me to hurry up and finish one up. Okay, 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. Now, when the Lord first presented this as a case to the Jews in the Old Testament, he was telling them, I want you to be a nation of priests. Now, why would you need a nation of priests? Well, you want a nation to be priest to the rest of the world. To tell the rest of the world about God. To lead and help bridge the gap. To introduce and to lead people to know their God. So they were to be a nation of priests. You know, they never caught that vision. Okay, but we're to catch it. Here we go with the church. We're to catch it. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood to the rest of the world. To draw them, hey, the ministry of reconciliation, to bring them to the Lord. A dedicated nation. God's own purchased people. Now, when you stop and think that, you know what? I've been paid for. I've been bought. I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. And you know what? I'm still here on earth to glorify God, my body and my spirit, because it all belongs to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. That would make a big difference. Okay, and your goals in life, if you just lined your life up with the Word of God, then you would be able to prove what is good and acceptable will of God. Instead of it being a gamble or a toss or a wish, there's a big difference in that. Look here, why are we here? Hey, you're special people. Say, I'm special. You really are? No, you really, really are. You're special. Why? has the Lord shown forth His love and His might, His glory, His promises? Why has He favored you? It's not because you're too cute and He can't resist you. It's because of Jesus. But there's a purpose behind all this love life, and it's to use you as a royal priesthood to the rest of the world, to show the rest of the world, to be a billboard for Christ, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds, to show forth the works of God. Because the works of God confirm the Word of God, and the work and the Word of God show forth the heart of God. It shows how loving He is. We're here. Look, Jesus came to show us the Father. You know why we're still here? To show the world how wonderful the Father is. Oh, yeah, I like that. That does me so much good. I'm telling you. Hey, and display wonderful deeds, and to display with your character, with your attitude, with your being. We're to display what Father's like. What Jesus is really like. Wow. Display the virtues and perfections of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And that's part of the testimony that the world needs to know, is that, you know what? I've been there. This is what Jesus did for me. Powerful testimony. People want to hear. Yes, they need to hear Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they also need to hear Justin. They also need to hear the gospel according to Eden. Are you with me? They need to hear the gospel according to Tim. What is the good news? What has Jesus done for you? That they want to hear that, and they'll probably hear that first. But they want to see it. And I want to tell you, if they see it like we're talking about in 1 Peter 2:9, if they see it, they'll come ask you to tell it. You won't have to corner them up to tell them. They're going to come ask you to tell them. Okay? And so I want to tell you, the Lord is wonderful. 1 Peter 2, I don't have time to go into it, but it describes Him as the chief cornerstone and how wonderful He is. And it says in 1 Peter 2, right before verse 9, it says this, that we get to know His preciousness. That pictures intimacy and getting to know His heartbeat. Not just knowing some facts about Him. There are too many Christians, okay, too many churches, too many Christians around the world satisfied at having some knowledge about Him and not knowing Him intimacy. But disciples are to know Him intimately. We get to know, because we're free, we're special, we get to know His heartbeat. And when you get to know intimacy, His heartbeat, I want to tell you the preciousness of who He is overwhelms you. And I want to tell you, the preciousness of Him in you, on you, attracts people to you. It's called the favor of God. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to claim. Okay? I had one come up to me one time after studying my life for a while, and she said, "Hall, you got your blankety-blank stuff together. I don't know what it is, but I need to hear it." I said, "I'll be glad to share with you." You know, it didn't offend me. She was trying to describe in her own terminology that she saw something different. Okay. Well, I shared. But I want to tell you, this is what the Lord loves to do. He's wonderful. We get to know Him in His preciousness. It says that we will never be disappointed in Him and never be put to shame by Him. Now, I want to tell you, sometimes people in authority over you will use you. They clap when you do them well. They celebrate you as long as you're making them look good. But there are times, oh look, I've got examples in my life. I dare not go there. I don't have time. And that really won't lift you up. You know what I'm talking about. Where people will use you as a laugh, or use you, as the term says, to throw you under the bus. For their own good, to make you look bad for their good. I want to tell you, that happens. Jesus, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, will never do that to you. He will never put you to shame. Okay? He will never disappoint. Now, His name is wonderful. We are, aren't you glad this morning that you are a peculiar people? You know what you can say about peculiar? You can say, you know what, I'm different. Thank God that you're different. You've been saved. You've been bought with a price. Jesus has forgiven your sin. You're not perfect, but you're forgiven. And you have the love of God in you, the Spirit of Christ in you. Yeah, you're different. You're not the normal human walking around. And so don't think you have to be like them. God's touched you and changed you for you not to be normal. Okay? For us to act normal like the world would be some subnormal to what God's paid the price for us. Okay. And so, you know what? We are peculiar. We're special. I want to tell you how special we are. We have relationship with the living God. And because of that, we can receive peace when everybody else is in stress. That's our Jesus. Okay? You want to hear some more? I love this because it's really true. When everybody else is sick, you can have health. Because you're special. You're God's own. You've been purchased by God. He's paid the price for your health. Not that anybody's earned it. No, no, no. It's because of Jesus. We get to receive it. When everybody else is suffering in the economy, we can prosper. We can be blessed in marriage. When everybody else talks about it being a curse. I love this in Exodus 12:13. And this is a scripture that got me back to 1 Peter because it's connected. But I don't know if I have time for all this, but here, this touched me. The blood shall be for a token or a sign to you upon the doorpost of the houses which you are. Now you know what we're talking about. This was the Passover. And they were to take the lamb's blood, place it on the top and on the sides, and it forms a cross, by the way. And because of the blood, he said, I will pass over you. And look what he says. This is not talked about very much, but it really caught me. And you know how things get me and just, oh, get all over me. But it went like this. No plague shall be upon you. No plague shall be upon you. No plague shall be upon you to destroy you. Even though everybody else is getting smitten. Everybody else is getting hit. Everybody else is receiving it. You're not going to. Now, are you interested in this? Because his blood. Get this. We know the cross. It's a picture of the cross. Because of the cross, God says no plague will come against you. The Hebrew word for plague means to strike. It means to hit or to strike or to smite with a disease. And so when God says, I don't want, because of the blood, I don't want any plagues to hit or strike my people. No diseases or sicknesses to come against my people. That's expressing God's desire. Now, don't run ahead of me and talk about facts. Well, how many? What's the percentage? And how do we step by step? Don't run there. Just see God right now. Because it's very, very important. If you see God's heart in something, you can center in on that and allow the Lord's love life to draw you in. If you try to be like a human with Western education and go figure it out so you can get God to do something, you can miss. Just see God's heart. Would you hear God's heart? He says, I don't want any plagues to be amongst my people. And so, just take that. Now, anytime, there's a few times this term is mentioned in Scripture. And it seems like that it's always connected to atonement or the priesthood. There was always a priest or a high priest doing something with atonement blood for forgiveness of sin. And so there was a direct connection between forgiveness of sin and no plagues among the people. The people are forgiven because of the blood, so no plagues among the people. Do you like that? It interests me. It's expressing God's desire. Now, Brother Tim, we know Christians with disease. I've got one myself. Well, you know what? There's no condemnation in this. I'm not here to throw a stone at anybody, so don't throw a stone at yourself. And don't think I'm throwing stones. I'm not. I'm trying to throw blessings out. You know what I'm trying to throw out is hope. And so don't focus on what the percentage of Americans or Christians or whatever. Don't focus on that. Let's focus on God's heart. That's where hope comes from, is seeing Jesus. And so let's focus on Jesus, not percentages. We all know people that love the Lord that have disease and died from disease. Okay? But listen. Okay? I admit that. I've been living on this earth a little while also. But let me say this to you. And this is something that needs to be deep in our heart. We are never to judge the word by our experiences. We are to judge our experience by the word. Boy, that ought to be strong. That should have got a bigger amen where we're preaching right now. I hope on podcast y'all said amen to that. It's so good, I'm going to say it again. We are never to judge the word by our experiences. We are to judge our experience by the word. We must have a greater allegiance to the word versus our experience. In the same vein of that, we are to recognize and understand that the invisible is a greater reality than the visible. Okay, thank you for saying amen. I've been preaching that for a few years. Okay, the kingdom of God is central. It's central. You got to see the kingdom of God is central compared to everything else, even everything on this planet. We say this, we need to let Jesus be the main thing and focus on the main thing. The church is primary in the vision of God. All right, a lot of times people make fun of the church, talk bad about the church, look down on the church. But I'm here to say something to you. Jesus doesn't do that. And if Jesus doesn't talk bad, look down on, speak bad about the church, we shouldn't do it either. I know people do this as an excuse to not come. All right, I know that we have served up stones for people to throw. But I'm telling you from an eternal view. When you talk about the church, you're talking about the bride of Jesus. Well, I hope that sinks in. I want to tell you, I was in a situation not too long ago where we were out in the public. My beautiful wife and I, a beautiful blonde, first lady, godly woman, great ministry team that she is to me. We were out in a public place and visiting with a brother, and a woman comes up that has spoken bad about her. Okay? Said things like, she's nothing but arm candy. She's not a real woman of God. She has no business being in the ministry. She has no spiritual heartbeat. Okay? She's going to be a hindrance to the ministry. And I could say a number of other things, but we've got a whole sermon to cover. But you know what? The person I was with didn't quite understand. Or if he did, he was wrong. But he asked me, aren't you going to go celebrate that person? Are you going to go greet that person and everything? I said, I will, and I'll do it in an appropriate way. And when it came to the time, I greeted that person in love and let them know that I was glad to see them and I blessed them in the name of the Lord. That's all I had to say. That's all I needed to say. You know what? That's all that was appropriate to say. Okay? And you know what? That was that. Now, I want to tell you something. I get criticism. I understand that. I have people say things. I understand that. You know what? When we live godly, you will suffer some persecution. That's okay. That goes with the program. But I'll tell you what, it really disturbs the far out of me when they talk about her. Okay? No one knows what all she does behind the scenes. No one knows her heartbeat. I get to hear it. I get to know that when things go well or things go bad, how her heart's for you. Okay? You better thank God she's in my life. She make me look better. She helped me act better. She helps point out my own sermons. My own sermons to me. So I want to tell you, she's an amazing woman. But I want to tell you, don't say something about my bride. Do you see where I'm getting on this? Is she perfect? No. She's not perfect. But I want to tell you something. Don't talk about my bride. You understand that? That's not right to talk about my bride. That's my love life. That's someone I'm committed to. That's someone that I'm going to be a part of the rest of the time I'm here. I want to tell you, I love this woman, and she's not perfect, but I want to tell you something. Don't talk about my bride. Now, I want to tell you, that's what Jesus says. He loves his bride. And let me make a little announcement here. If you know Jesus, you're a part of the bride. So don't talk about yourself. Don't throw stones at yourself. Don't shoot yourself with the BB gun. Okay? Don't throw mud on yourself. Can I say something to you? Don't talk bad about yourself. We know you're not perfect. Jesus knows you're not perfect. But hey, when Father sees you, he sees you one with Christ. He sees you team with Christ. And so I'm here to say every now and then, I have to whisper to my beautiful bride, now don't you talk bad about my bride. Because every now and then, you know, she kind of want to say something about herself. You know, I don't like this, or I wish I did. No, 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 hey, wait. I love my bride. God did a great job on you. Okay, don't talk about my bride. Every now and then when she's going off into the commercial workplace, I whisper to her, hey, be good to my bride today. You understand what I'm saying? Be good to my bride today, because I really love her. Okay? And one of the things I want to know when she gets home, because you know business and you know business meetings, you know high pressure, big time stuff. I ask her every now and then, did everybody treat you with respect today? Are you listening to what I'm saying? Hey, you take a moment and look at the groom and understand that even though this bride's not perfect, he loves his bride. Amen, Brother Tim. That's good preaching. Okay, we'll apply that. We see this. Okay. So the church is the primary in the vision of God. Hey, when we get to heaven and look back on history, we're going to see that it's not about great men and great nations. We're going to see through heaven's eyes, and we're going to see history as his story. And his story is going to be about the king and his bride, the church. That's big time main thing from heaven. Not about what Dr. So-and-so is saying or what President or King So-and-so is saying around the earth. It's about what God says and what the bride says about it. Amen. Okay, so this breaks down into your everyday life like this. Esteem Jesus. Esteem your groom. Esteem your king. Glorify him in everything you do and everything you are. It's just about, make it just about Jesus. Not about you. I want to tell you, my antenna's high. I've been in ministry for a long time. Since I was 16 years old. So my antenna is real high. And I want to tell you something. When I start hearing people promote themselves instead of the king, I back up. Okay, I back up. I don't want to be a part of it because I know that's not kingdom. Because I want to tell you, when the bride is together, who we ought to be uplifting is the groom. We ought to be uplifting and talking about the groom and not ourselves. We need to make it all about the groom. Brag on the groom, not on you. I shouldn't have to say that, but it's needed to be said. When I hear people starting to promote themselves, I cut it off. Bless and promote loving kindness to his bride. In other words, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you're to love on others the way you love on yourself. And so it's very, very important that you treat his bride good. Okay? In a way that would be well-pleasing to him. So you talk good to his bride. When you look in the mirror, you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm loved by the Father. I'm loved by the Son. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. When you look in the mirror and you start saying stuff bad about yourself, you're talking about his bride. Bless and promote loving kindness to his bride. Now, that only not only does that mean you, but that means other brothers and sisters in the bride, in the church. You bless them. They're not perfect either. Our prayers usually go something like this. Lord, thank you for being so patient with me. Oh, Lord. Thank you for helping me, oh, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, they are a mess. Look at them. God, get them, God. Now, that's not blessing the bride. We're to love each other with long-term loving kindness, patience. We're to deal with people that are in the wrong, that's in the church, with TLC, tender loving care, as tender and as lovingly as we can, considering ourselves, the Bible says, lest we also be tempted. And so I'm telling you, bless and promote loving kindness to his bride. And all the people said. Amen. All right, 3 John 1:2 is in the theme of all this. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way. This is God's desire. Again, look at God's heart. Because when you look at God's heart, you can believe and see what he has for you. Holy Spirit will show you. He says, I pray that you may prosper in every way. And that your body may keep well. And so he wants your body to prosper. He wants everything on the outside out here to prosper. He wants for you to do good. This shouldn't be very hard for us to figure out, because that's what love does. Love believes and wants the best. It's divine love. Hey, look, if you're married, you want your mate to be blessed. You got kids, you want your kids to be blessed. You know what that is? That's love. God's love is so much bigger than that. But here's how we graduate to that, to ensure and receive that, is to make sure, the bottom of the verse, that as I know, your soul keeps well. This is the assumption, it's the presumption, it's the elementary, it's the basic, it's the foundation, to that your soul keep well and prosper. And for your soul to be at peace, joy, and love. And to walk in the love life with the Lord. And then it works its way on out, from inside out, from your spirit to your soul to your body to the outside. Somebody say amen. Amen. So this again is God's heart, no plagues. Shows Father's heart for the bride, the church, his people. Prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. I just love this. Now, when you're convinced your loving Father wants you to be well, guess what? You're healthier. This is not deep. Okay? Hey, it boils down to something like this. And there are entire churches that don't even touch this subject because it's controversial. Well, you know, hey. Jesus healed a lot of people. You see God's heart, that he wants us well. And so it's okay if Jesus paid for it. I want to tell you, it's okay for us to preach on it. But I want to tell you, you can be in a great church, presents forgiveness of sin, and not hear anything about healing. And you know what? You probably don't have the faith to be healed. They probably don't have the faith to pray for your healing. They'll probably come up to you and say, well, Lord, comfort you while you die. Well, that's not a bad prayer. We want the Lord's comfort while we die. But I want to tell you something. Do you want to people that will pray over you to comfort you while you die, or you want people to lay hands on you and believe and trust and have confidence in God? Jesus heals you. Jesus healed you 2,000 years ago. We pray in the name of Jesus for Justin to receive it. We bless him. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's what Jesus said. We just do what Jesus said. We just say what Jesus said. We speak to this mountain to get out of here. And we speak life on him. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus said. He told us to go do it. When you practice hearing, you have faith for it. If you don't hear, you don't have faith for it. Is that a little tough on you? Okay. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and give you another one. Boy, this is not even in the notes. Hey, here it goes. There's a parallel truth to faith comes by hearing. I'm coming over to this side. My wife's giving me instructions. Start preaching to this side too. I love you. It goes like this. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God. Parallel truth. Unbelief comes by hearing. What you hear and what you see. Okay? How much unbelief do we hear every day that contradicts the word of God? And then we wonder, where's our faith at? Why don't I receive? Well, if you're consumed by hearing unbelief and seeing unbelief, you just voted for on the tug of war for unbelief to win. Yeah. It doesn't have to be that way. All right? It doesn't have to be that way. When you're convinced your loving Father wants you to be well, you're healthier. Be advised, if we're focused more on circumstances than we are on him, we tend to repeat and retreat. You get that? It's very easy to get our circumstances in the middle of the picture. Instead of Jesus being the center, move our circumstances in the center. The circumstances ought to be out there on the outside and Jesus be the center. What you're saying, what you're doing, Lord, is the real. This junk out here, the invisible, is temporary. I'm trusting in the invisible to become real. But when we focus more on our circumstances, we tend to repeat. Hey, come on. How many of you have ever said, I've been around this mountain before? I got tracks here. This was me just a few years ago. A few months ago. Hey, what about retreat? We find ourselves all ready. God's spoken to us. We got the word. We're get up, ready to go. And then a circumstance come and we center on the circumstance and we think, I just don't feel like it. I'll try again when I feel better. Okay. Focus on him and his promises, not on human experiences or human tendencies. The enemy will say something like this, because I've heard it. It goes like this. You know, sister so-and-so was godlier and more dedicated than you are. She suffered. She is sick a long time. She was diseased. She died suffering. What makes you think you're going to be better than she was? She more godly than you are. See, that's accuser. You hear accuser in that? But this is what the Bible says. You just say what the Bible says. The Bible says, and this is, we're going to see this again in Scripture. It's in little 1 John. But it goes like this. As Jesus Christ is in the world, so am I. We have that. It's coming up. There it is. Look at the bottom of verse 4:17. Now, the top of it talks about the union and communion of love. We've talked about that in this service, hadn't we? And how that's what completion is. That's what perfection is receiving the love of Jesus, okay? It's not being perfect on the outside. It's receiving the love of Jesus. But what it does, it gives you a holy boldness. The love of, when you know you're loved and nothing can separate you from the love of God, it gives you a holy boldness and an assurance. And you understand and you see and recognize as Jesus is in you, because that's where he is, the Spirit of God dwelling in you, so are we. We have union. All right? We're joint heirs with Christ. And so as Jesus is in the world, so are you. Wow, that makes a difference. Okay, so sister so-and-so, I don't know. That's human experience, but this is what Bible says. Bible says as Jesus Christ is in the world, so am I. That's better. Not as what sister so-and-so experienced or brother you-know-who experienced. My faith's in Jesus and not in man. That's big. Is your faith in Jesus or in man or a woman? Okay, that makes a big difference. Who are you looking to? I'm looking to Jesus. All right, I promise you. I'm not focused on you. I don't know. I shouldn't be laughing. But I'm not focused on you. I love these pastors. I'm not focused on them. I'm focused on Jesus. Okay? And they know my humanness better than you do. And I promise you, they're not focused on me or they wouldn't be here. Hey, I'm an imperfect vessel. We all know that. If there's in doubt, ask my wife, but I don't want you to do it. Don't focus on me. I'm not focused on you. Let's focus on Jesus. I love this about this verse. It says, as Jesus is. You hear that? Would you say that with me? As Jesus is. You know, that's present tense. That means the right now Jesus. Somebody say right now Jesus. All right, now let me ask you. Is Jesus lonely right now? No. Come on now. Jesus not lonely. Jesus hurting right now? No, he's not. Mm-mm. Is Jesus sick?
No.
Jesus poor?
No.
Is Jesus depressed?
No.
Is he on the throne?
Yes.
Is he reigning?
Yes.
Is his name above every name?
Yes.
I want to tell you something about Jesus. You need to see he's relaxed. In spite of your problems, he's relaxed. He's resting in victory on the throne, because he's already paid the price for your success. He's already paid the price for your victory. It's done. The works are finished, and he did a great job, and you can't add to them, so quit trying.
Yes.
We rest and receive.
Amen.
We're receivers and not achievers. He's relaxed. Guess what? He's stress-free. Hey, Jesus didn't say, Father, Holy Spirit, let's huddle up. What are we going to do? I just don't understand. You know, she's got a problem that just, you know, it's lasted a while now, and bless her heart, she's tried so hard. What are we going to do? We don't know what to do for her. They're not doing that. Okay. You know, I'm trying to help you get a picture of heaven as it is in heaven. He wants it to be on your earth. He paid the price as Jesus is on the earth, so are you. Jesus is peace. You can receive his peace. And he said, the peace that I give you is not like the world, so don't even try to describe that. He said, my peace I give you, my joy, my love, my patience, my disciplined mind, my self-control, my kindness. I'm telling you, just a good dose of kindness in an evil world will show up. Right now, as Jesus is, he is the right now Jesus in me, right here. The Holy Spirit is in me in full measure. That's what the Bible says, full measure. Don't have a little bitty Jesus in here trying to do all he can. No, I'm telling you, full Holy Spirit. And he's all about God's interest. And he wants to help us. All this blessing is based on him and not on us. God looks to Jesus and says, you get all the benefits. That's good news. We don't qualify by ourselves, but because we're in Jesus, he's in us. Father sees Jesus and blesses us as beloved sons and daughters. Wow. Somebody say, joint heirs. Full partners in him. Full partners in the kingdom. I didn't tell you to get communion elements, did I? Justin, would you mind helping me? Pastor James, would you mind helping me? Go hand out the elements and let's receive communion. This would be a good time for it. While they're handing this out, will you listen to me? We're still on podcast. We're going to stay on it because we're going to try to teach right through this right quick. Amen. Okay, all of them are the same. Y'all just pick you one. Don't try to get the biggest one. They're all the same. I know how we are in Texas. Bigger the better. They're all the same size. So, all right. You turn your eyes and your heart toward the Lord, and let's just see this. Now, when you receive communion, which we're fixing to do here in just a moment, when you receive communion, judge yourself as the beneficiary of what the covenant won for you. You see that? Jesus won this for you. And we judge wrong. I'm telling you, the Bible tells us to judge right. You're the beneficiary. You get the benefit of what Jesus has done. And he won this covenant for you. He has redeemed you. He has forgiven you. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. That's what Jesus has won for us. In his blood, he's won it. So this is why communion is so important. Now, I'm going to describe this to you because I've been in churches, I could say all over the South, I guess. And a number of times when it comes time to communion, it goes something like this. They will sometimes instruct people to remember their sin. I've been there. Okay, and they'll tell them, now you remember your sin. You think about all your sin. And you get up here and let's repent of all your sins. Now I want to tell you what remembering your sins produces. Guilt produces guilt. Okay, that's not healthy, okay, in kingdom life. Jesus is not wanting you to judge your sins. He's wanting you to judge rightly, listen to this, judge rightly the remittance of sin. Do you see the difference in that? The remittance of sin means like it's already been sent in the mail. It's already gone. Remittance. It's been paid for and taken away. It's gone. He took away our sin. Remittance. Okay? And so it's not judging our sin. It's rightly judging what Jesus has accomplished. The remittance of sin. And so if you will, take out the elements and we're going to start with the bread, because with the bread he paid for our healing and he paid for restoration of my body and my soul. I want to tell you, Jesus suffered in his soul like no one else. I want to tell you something. Jesus suffered in his body like no one else. Do you understand that he took all of our sins, past, present, and future, of the whole world on his body? And so I want to tell you, the Bible says that by his stripes, we were healed. That's past tense. We were healed. And so you receive the bread right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your healing. Thank you that you paid for restoration of my body and my soul. Lord, we judge it worthily. We judge it rightly. We see ourselves forgiven. We see ourselves righteous in you, healed in you, restored in you, rightly by your stripes. I am healed. Would you repeat that after me? By his stripes, I am healed. Now, you take the bread, you judge yourself rightly by judging yourself healed. That's our part, is to agree with what Jesus did. Now take the cup, and we're going to rightly judge yourself forgiven, because that's what the blood represents. This is remembering him and the covenant benefits he made and won for us. This brings him glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiveness of our sin. Thank you that you've taken our sins and thrown them into the depths of the sea and you remember them no more. Thank you that you throw them as far as the east is from the west and you remember them no more. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have complete remission of sin. That you do not hold any sin to our account because of what Jesus has done. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness, complete forgiveness from the power of sin and the punishment of sin, and that we're free. Thank you, Lord, that your blood has won freedom for us to have love life with you, and we give you praise. This brings him glory. This is the benefits of his goodness to the church, and you know what? The Lord loves to manifest. So why don't you just be still before the Lord, and you begin to practice thanking the Lord for all that he's won for you. And you just practice thanking him and receiving it by faith. Remember, faith is saying yes to God. So inside of you, you say yes to the Lord for your forgiveness and for your healing inside and out. Lord, we thank you. We give you praise. Lord, we practice receiving right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you make this very real and very personal to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, those of you on podcast, you say, well, we weren't here to get the elements. I'm saying to you, the most precious communion I've ever experienced. I had my staff on at a church camp, and it was kind of one of those prompt-to things the Lord prompted me on. We didn't have elements with us. We had knee-high grape and corn chips. And I want to tell you, it was one of the most powerful meetings I've ever been in my life, where I don't know how to explain it, but the presence of God was so strong, so manifested. Because see, I'm not surprised people get healed and get touched and get set free when we have communion, because the Lord manifests himself when we remember him. And when we judge rightly what he's done and receive it, practice receiving it, he manifests himself. And I want to tell you, the Lord manifested himself so strong in that meeting. As a matter of fact, Corinne was there at that retreat. And it was one of the most precious experiences, because the presence of the Lord was so strong. We just, I don't know how to say it, but we just soaked in it. I'm not over it. And the Lord doesn't want us to get over him. I hear people say, and let me just kind of wrap this up. I hear people say, I can't partake because I've sinned, I'm a sinner. Listen, that's why we partake. Okay, no, yeah, I'm not joking with you. I've had people tell me right here at this place, and I'm not remembering any names here, but I'm just saying, I've had people tell me, Brother Tim, I've had a real bad week, and you know, I've really messed up my Cheerios. I can't do it this week. No. Stop that. Don't go there. That doesn't bring honor and glory to God. That's why we partake, is to remember the truth and apply the truth. This is for us. Jesus said, come. Receive what he paid for. This brings him honor and glory. And you know what? It ministers his goodness to you and to the church and to the world. If you think you're perfect, you just disqualified yourself from the throne of grace. Grace means unearned, undeserved favor. There's no mercy for you if you don't need it. Do you have ears to hear what I'm saying? And so, let me just say it this way. Don't park at examining yourself. I'm not saying the Lord may not remind you of some things or convict you of some things. He's good at that. But I'm talking about, don't park at self-examination. That's depressing. That's where you'll end up. You focus on yourself, you're going to be depressed. Let's examine Jesus. See? He's the Lamb of God. Let's look at the Lamb. That brings life to me. That brings grace to me. That brings mercy to me. And in a picturesque way, when you brought a sin offering, the lamb, to the priest in the Old Testament, the priest didn't say, okay, take off your sandals. Let's see where all you've been, what you've been doing. No, he didn't look at your feet. He looked at the sacrifice. He looked at the lamb. He didn't examine you. He examined the lamb. If the lamb was perfect, you're accepted in the sacrifice. You see that? It's the same way with Jesus. Have you put faith and trust in the perfect Lamb of God? His name is Jesus. So don't focus on yourself. Focus on Jesus. Don't focus on other people. You're going to get offended. Focus on yourself, get depressed. Focus on other people, get offended. Disappointed at the least. But when you focus on Jesus, no shame, no disappointment. His love absolutely transforms us. And his love makes you want to love him back. We love him because he first loved us. And we love him back. And I want to tell you, that's Christianity. It's love life relationship with Jesus. It's not a list of rules, do's and don'ts. Hey, celebrate the relationship of Jesus. And you'll find yourself doing what he wants you to do, because that's what love does. Okay? These people that try to warn me, Brother Tim, you're just giving them a license to go do whatever they want. No, that's not what love is. Okay, that's love doesn't do that. Okay, that's as self-centered as you can possibly be. But I want to tell you what love does. He loves us. We love him back. And I'll tell you what love looks like. He said, those that love me, do what I say. That's what he said. Those that love me, love on others. And I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus is free to do a whole lot in an atmosphere of love. He's able to change a lot in an atmosphere of love. Are you listening? Do you have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you tonight? Okay, today, this morning. God bless you. Okay, why don't you bow your heads? Let me pray for you. And thank you for joining us today on podcast. And we want you to know that we pray for you. We're interested in what Jesus is doing in your life. Thank you for having an ear to hear. Faith cometh by hearing. Keep listening. When we keep listening, I want to tell you, God sparks up faith. And we want that for you. We bless you in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the precious people here. Lord, thank you that your love is so great that you love to manifest your love right where our needs are. And so I'm asking you this morning to just focus on the Lord. And I want you to lift up your hand, to lift up your need before the Lord. Whatever your need is, I want you to lift up your need to the Lord. You got needs in your life. Whatever the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, lift it up before the Lord. And I want to tell you, He has a way of manifesting His love right where your point of need is. Because He's a very present, right now Jesus help in your need. We're praying for you right now. You just lift that up to Jesus. And you let Jesus love on you right now, right where you are. Father, in Jesus' name, we release the power and presence of your Spirit to touch people's needs. Lord, thank you that you told us to bring our cares to you because you care for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that everything is level at the cross. There's nothing too big or too small. Thank you, Lord, that you care about the little things and the big things. Thank you, Lord, that with you all things are possible. And so, Lord, we just present these needs to you. And I thank you for your love life. I just release by your power the Spirit of the Lord to move up and down every aisle, to touch every heart, and to minister hope and to minister life to these needs. And, Lord, we claim these needs to have a breakthrough, to have a turning point, to bring honor and glory to yourself. Lord, thank you for loving on people this morning. Thank you that you've come to set us free. And liberty is big for you. You want us to receive it. And so I bless them with the liberty in these situations. Lord, I just release the ministry of your hope in every heart. That, Lord, we can praise you and give thanks to you. In the midst of this need, we can thank you that you are the meter of needs. That you're a present help in time of trouble. And we just bless this time right now. Great peace, great joy. Thank you, Lord, that the joy, your joy toward us is strength to us. And I speak your strength on every person. I pray in the name of Jesus for divine protection this week. I pray in the name of Jesus for divine favor to rule and reign in our lives this week. To such an extent that, Lord, we have continual praise and recognition of your hand of goodness, loving kindness in our life, to the point that other people see you in us. And I just bless that in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for what you're doing at New Beginnings. Lord, we're hungry for you. We're thirsty for you. We say yes to what you have for us. And all the people said, amen, amen, and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap.